it's a message that I woke up this morning. It was one of the first things that hit my mind and my heart. And somehow, I know the Lord will help me. It all flows together with where we were at before the Christmas and New Year vacations. And we were gone for a week. Ryan and Esther, by the way, are gone today, taking some time off. So that's great. And at any rate, tie this together with our message on love. How many have learned more about love and how faith works by that same love in a greater way than you have ever before? I know I have if I studied it. And I've heard a number of comments, and we're thankful for that. But how many know the Word of God? If you just stick with the Word, it's easy. My yoke is easy. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? And the thought hit my mind once again. You know, every year about this time, it seems like this, every year around this time, it seems like this message and this theme comes to me. But it was I feel like it was especially expressed to me this morning. So I know there are people here that need to hear this word. And I realize that it's, for some, it's an exciting relief to know that we can. For others, it's a real challenge, and it conjures up a lot of emotions. So I want to ask you to please just listen. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. But if I were going to sum it all up in one word, it's forget. You know that the Holy Spirit, let me back up a little bit. He helps the process, but God gave you already. I'm reminded all the time of Philemon 1:6 that says that the communication of our faith, you might want to write this down, the communication of our faith is made effectual, Philemon 1:6, is made effectual by the acknowledging, your acknowledgement of all the good that is in us in Christ Jesus. You know, most of the Christian world is not even aware that they have any good in them. In fact, they've been taught that there is no good in me. How many know that after the flesh, you are absolutely right? But if by the Spirit, you've been regenerated by the Spirit of God by putting your faith in the work of the cross and have taken His righteousness as your own by faith, that has changed everything. A new creature, a brand new person lives on the inside of you. And the rest of our journey in God as believers is renewing our mind, our flesh, the outside of us, to who we are now. For real. A new identity, a new person on the inside. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I never get tired of quoting it. Aren't you glad? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's a description of who you are on the inside. The last verse says this: He who knew no sin, our Jesus, Savior, Lord, and King. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took our sin upon the tree, became sin for us, so that we, by faith in that work, could be made, not treated as, like Abraham of old, but literally made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul cites this very thing in Philippians chapter 3, where he says that he counts all of his successes as nothing. He literally uses the word dung. You know what that is. Okay? He counts all of his successes. He wasn't even mentioning his failures or that he was a murderer. Held the cloak while he gave the order to kill Stephen. Are you here? He mentioned his successes. Who he was after the flesh. He said, I call that all dung. I call that all nothing. So that I may gain, or rather, for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he cites specifically righteousness that is by faith. How many have put your faith in Jesus and can declare with me together today? Say it with me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't say that this morning. You're in the right place. It's not difficult. Here's how hard it is. Or how simple, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord in this, that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. That's as tough as it is. I don't know what it is about that. It only happens when the Holy Spirit draws you. And when we respond, there's a supernatural miracle, and belief from your toes heavenward transforms your life. How many are glad today for Jesus? Three of you. How many are glad today for Jesus? We got a few more. How many are glad today for Jesus in your life? Woo! Good news! He is alive. All right. Now, I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. I hope I didn't forget anything. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to take a drink of water. Starting with verse 3, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. We'll get into the heart of what I feel like the Lord wants me to bring this morning. I don't know if I have the time to cover everything. Again, I keep reminding myself I've always got next week. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6. Being confident. This is awesome. Being confident of this very thing. How many need to really, really hear this morning? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. Ha! How many are aware that there is a good work that starts? A good work. Can you say that? A good work. When God calls something good, you go back to the account of creation. When he was done, he said, this is good. He got done with man and woman. He said, this is very good. In our original state, the very image of God stamped on us, his authority, his strength, the ability to be able to walk and talk. Yes, broken by sin, by the first Adam, but aren't you glad for the second Adam that has fully restored our ability to be able to know him? Amen. Being confident of this very thing, which he hath begun, a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to say this with me, and I want you to hear yourself say these words. He who has begun a good work in me is faithful to complete it. One more time. He who has begun a good work in me is faithful to complete it. One more time. He who has begun a good work in me is faithful. I do believe that this morning. Faithful to complete it. How many are glad for a good work on the inside? How many are glad for his faithfulness to finish what he started? Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and in confirmation of the gospel, you're all partakers of my grace. God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray that your love... This I pray, that your love, listen to his heart for this church, more than anything else, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So this is love, supernatural, agape love that we've been talking about for several months. that we abound in by knowledge and judgment of the Word of God. That ye may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now there is so much. He goes in there, some very, very interesting conversation that goes on there in that letter to that Philippian church and to us today by the Spirit of God. But I want to jump forward now to chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Look at what his heart's desire is for this Philippian church. And you see this as a main theme throughout the epistles of Paul. He says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. How many know that's possible? God doesn't give us a command and then not empower us with the ability to pull through. Let nothing, he says, be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Christmas. I was standing up here after our Christmas service, and Colleen's husband, who is with the Lord, Bill Comstock, I'm so glad I got to know him. Him to be my friend. I'll always cherish those times together for sure. He had a beautiful sign. I don't know how it's a sign. It almost demeans it, like a plaque. That's, yeah, a large plaque, wooden, that said nothing more than others. You walked in their door, stepped in the house, and you turned right there facing you was a sign that said, others. I love that sign, and ever since, I've mentioned it a number of times. Well, in fact, I should have brought it this morning to show you. Jim Anderson took old barnwood from our 1940-something chicken coop that we have out back here. We'll soon tear it down. But at any rate, he took barnwood, and he made me about the same size, the most beautiful plaque. Same thing. Others. How many know that our lives are strongest when we understand that we are poured out for, help me out, others? I love that. It's a reminder of what this is about. I'm not saying that I feel that way all the time. It's easy to get going and the hustle and bustle and all that we do. And most of our time is kind of holding our little world together, and you get caught in that trap. But our life truly is about others. Look at what he says. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also on the things of, can you say it together? Others. Isn't that good? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, whereby God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And how many know that the Word of God declares that he has given us his name? How many know that's not just something you say when you pray over your food? That name is powerful. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All that we do. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying that you work to get saved. He's saying those of you who are brothers and are saved, there is a process of letting that work have an effect on the way that you live. Fear and trembling, if you go back through the Old Testament, I don't have time to go into it now, but more often in the Hebrew mind has to do with awe and wonder. In fact, there's a place in the Old Testament where God prospers the Israelites to a degree that they stood in fear and trembling, in amazement at His blessing upon them. So that might change your idea. This is not a cloudy, dark verse at all. This is wonderful freedom. How many are glad for the salvation of God? You say, where are you getting that from? Well, look at the next verse. For it is God. Come on, are you here this morning? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. Somebody needs to shout it out this morning. God's working in me. I've been through a battle. I've been through some struggles. But God is working some things inside of me. Come on, say it out loud. God is working His pleasure on the inside of me. Hallelujah. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That you may be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. How fitting is that right now? I love this nation, but we're in trouble. Don't put your trust in any man. You put your trust in Jesus. I'm thankful for some things that are happening, but I still know that we live in a fallen world where men do what they do. We better know that our trust is in the Lord. Hallelujah. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I believe it's important that we understand every one of us has a responsibility to let our light shine. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now I want you to jump forward. This is a wonderful, amazing book. I love the book. I love them all, but I love the book of Philippians. You know, we always think of these verses when we hear Philippians. A lot of us do. How many are familiar with Philippians 4:13? Can you quote it? I can do, come on, let's quote it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many are familiar with 1 Corinthians 4:19? A little slower, that's okay. That's okay. You're not alone. Philippians 4:19. Don't let them, I said Philippians. Philippians 4:19. Did I say Corinthians? Wow, where'd that come from? Philippians 4:19. You're not supposed to be helping them cheat, Bill. Leave it blank till they answer. Philippians 4:19. Did he already put it up there? My God. Come on, can you say it? My God shall supply all. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You believe He can provide all your physical needs? You believe He can provide all your financial needs? Emotional? Some of you singles out there, quit trying so hard. That's what gets you in trouble. Believe Him that He supplies your needs. Got really quiet. He knows your needs better than you do. Anyway, I'm not going to get off on that or get in trouble. Never get to where I want to go. How many believe He supplies all your needs? Let's say it one more time. My God. Some of you need to hear this. My God. He will supply every need, Tom. Not according to my effort and strain. Push. We're supposed to work with our hands. And He said He would bless our hands and cause them to prosper as we meditated in who He is day and night. So we got to put our hands to something. God can't bless laziness. But the other side of that ditch, are you hearing me? The other side of that ditch is we got to trust that it's not our effort that makes the difference. Everything I do is as unto the Lord. My future is secure in Him. Say with me, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. By, I'd say that's a pretty sure deal when it's by Christ Jesus. Back to 6. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Ha! What a freedom unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it will not make rational sense. I don't have time to tell the story of when we moved here to Chino, but I'm telling you what, I love telling it because there's no way that you could have ever made that up on your own, what God did. At the end of our rope, with nowhere to turn, and yet a song in our heart and rejoicing. 5:30 in the morning, drinking coffee, I said, honey, we know better than this. Did He not say, agree together, and I'll take care of the rest? And what unraveled inside of a 2-day period as we trusted God is nothing short of miraculous. How many are glad today? Let me tell you something. In the middle of the storm, there was peace. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we jump from the beginning of the book. Look at what just happened. We jump from the beginning. He says, He is faithful. Shout it out with me this morning. How many know that is a wonderful truth? Hear and know the feeling of the anointing of God as you say, He is faithful. Come on, shout it out. He is faithful to complete that which He has begun in me, a good work. Right? Then He admonishes us. Here's our lifestyle in this supernatural life, esteeming others, doing nothing through strife or vainglory, recognizing our place in the body. How many are glad for that? Right? Then He goes on and tells us about that wonderful name of Jesus, that at that name every knee would bow. It says, have this heart that He did, who humbled Himself and became a servant to others, even unto death. He said, let your life be patterned after this. We jump to the end of the book where the promises come forward. How many are glad? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many are glad the promise is given there and we stand on it? My God, one more time, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But there's a part in the middle that I feel is extremely vital to how all of this works. And some of you know where we're going. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Sandwiched right in the middle of these beautiful promises and admonitions is something that is extremely powerful. I want you to go all the way down to in verse 3. Just let's go ahead to 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He says, beware of dogs. If you go and you study this, what he is referencing are those that try to impose the law in the new covenant church. That's strong terminology, but it's not mine, so don't look at me. Paul said, these dogs who try to bring back circumcision and the old law, he said, beware of them. That's pretty heavy. If you read verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Let me tell you about who I am. And he begins to say, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. I was perfect. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's pretty radical. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. We mentioned this earlier. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How many are glad this morning that he gave you the faith to trust him for a brand new righteousness? Say with me one more time, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, notice, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also. Now in the King James, that is pretty confusing. I brought along my nearly inspired version, the NIV. I don't really believe that. And I don't like some of the things I've removed. But it does serve a purpose of being very, very clear. How many in here have an NIV? No condemnation. You're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. I'm using one right here. Okay. Let me go to Philippians. Chapter 3. Here's what it says in the NIV. It's a little bit clearer. Not that I've already obtained all this. All this what? What he just got through mentioning. His desire to know him more. The revelation of this righteousness by faith. This great work of God on the inside of grace. Paul was the preacher of grace. Romans is the most incredible for eternity exposition of grace there will ever be. I'm so glad for Romans 5:17, which tells me that death reigned by one. But now, for Lee, who receives with everything I got like a little child, the abundance, how about you? The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Leeford, that's my nickname. Leeford reigns in life by one, Jesus Christ. Not because of what I do, but because I can humble myself and receive. How many have received the goodness of God today? And can, how about the rest of you? How many received the goodness of God today? Ha! He is good. Would you shout it out? He is good, and his mercy endures forever. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold. I love what J.B. Richards says. He says, here's what Paul was saying. This great grace of God, I haven't got myself wrapped around it totally yet. I haven't quite got a hold of all of it yet, but it has a hold on me. Did you hear that? It has a hold on me. And because of this, listen to what he says, not that I've already obtained all this, or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Can you all shout that out this morning? But one thing I do. Let me know what that is. Forgetting. I'm not so unreasonable this morning to ask you to believe that God can erase your physical memory so that you cannot remember anything, good or bad, that happened in your past. But what I am here to tell you is, there's a Holy Ghost type of forgetting, that removes the pain of regret and of guilt and of woulda, coulda, shoulda, and I had my opportunity and I had it and I didn't take it. And it takes us and it dictates to us our past, dictates to us our future. I'm here by the Spirit of God this morning to arrest that in a number of you and get you to dare to believe that the Holy Spirit can help you forget the past. You must forget the past and press on, for there is a mark of His high calling on your life that you can shoot at, aim high, and trust that He will, here we go again, complete that which He has started in us. Can you say Shundai? I don't know what that means, but it feels good. All right, so here we go. Forgetting. This one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind. Straining. The King James uses the word pressing. Putting pressure on myself. I will not stay where I'm at. Not God putting pressure on you. We've heard enough of that nasty religion. God working against us. God putting us through stuff. God making us go through things. Let me tell you something. He's with me and for me. He is already my victory. He's not against me. If God be for me, who can be against me? He's not making it hard on me. He paid the total price for my victory. All we got to do is trust Him, hook up and cooperate with His truth. We doing all right this morning? Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning that every single one of you, I know it's something we hear a lot, and if we're not careful, it just begins to be a buzz phrase in Christendom. But God does have a plan and a purpose, ministry, a calling. Your life does count. And somebody needs you to trust His goodness enough in you that you have something to say, something to give. In some way, be a blessing and lift someone. It saddened me to hear, right here close, happens all over around Christmas and New Year's, but right here close, three different people over Christmas and New Year's that took their lives. The owner of Lefty's in the paper. Just adopted several grandchildren the week or two before. You have another guy that tried to, a young cowboy, family of somebody I know very well, tried to take his own life. People in despair, hurting, no hope, nowhere to go. Who knows what's going on in their minds? And others, how we need to not possess this great gift wrapped tightly, hidden from the world. I want you to say with me today, I've got something to say. My life counts in Jesus. It counts for eternity. Are you here today? You don't have to be. I don't want you to. We don't need another me. One is enough. Trust me. We don't need another dude in a suit and a tie. We need believers right where you're at. There is no shame in working hard and being responsible and being salt and light in the earth. That's what we were called to do. There are a few that are called to do this, but all of us are called to make a difference. There's a good work on the inside of you. Let 2018 be the year that you say, you know what, I'm not going to just sit back in grace, which that's not really true grace, but you know what I mean. I'm not going to just sit back in grace and just see where things go, but I'm going to press. Would you say it with me this morning? I'm going to press. I'm going to press towards the mark of my high calling in Christ Jesus. Pressing. I got more information that I can get through as usual. Memory, how many know this? Memory immobilizes people. Stops them from moving forward. Many are trapped by what they've already done. And it makes them question what they could do. Don't be preoccupied with what you've done. So preoccupied with what you've done that you do not plan for what you could do. We just rehearsed together, I can do. Come on, are you here today? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The past can be a dangerous place to dwell. Are you here this morning? And I believe that as I'm letting these words roll from my lips, I believe the anointing of God, this should not be hitting you hard. This should be lifting you to a place of hope. And in hope is found a place of faith. And in faith is found a place, a new understanding of the love of God. And in that is a place of purpose and supernatural calling. A good work which He began in you. Maybe as a teenager, He spoke to your heart and you didn't feel made to do something. There was a thrill in seeing that God is going to use me that way someday. And now it's been quieted. I arrest that in Jesus' name. I speak life to that spark that seems to barely flicker. I prophesy today in Jesus' name that supernaturally it'll burst into flame. It'll burst and begin to consume hope that is added in that thing. And your confidence in God's ability to complete that which He begun in you will be restored. I believe that this year is a year of new beginnings. Here's one, and I'll tell you what, as I mentioned even the address of this verse, I know, so I want to, some of you that have been around a while, you're going to go, oh yeah, that one. No, don't do that! The Word of God that has become cliche for you loses its power for you. It doesn't lose its power. But what I'm trying to say is, we don't get anything out of something that's just become. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Oh, they were glorious. They were awesome. Some were good, some were tough, but forget them. Forget the former things. Do not dwell, this is the NIV again, for you NIVers. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing now. It springs up. Do you not receive it? Perceive it, excuse me? Do you not perceive it? I believe in Jesus' name that you can perceive. That is revelation by the Spirit of God of a brand new thing. This is not a worn out verse that we heard years ago that helped us cope through another year. I believe in Jesus' name that every day is brand new in God. Every year is a brand new opportunity to fly higher into a greater level of His glory, into His calling. Are you here today? Do you perceive it? Would you shout with me, yes, I do. God, I'm reaching for everything I got on the inside of me. Perception by the Holy Ghost of a new day and a new thing. But notice it starts. Forget. That means that you have been given by God the ability to let the past go. How many are glad for that? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You feel like you've been in a wasteland for a while? Rejoice. Come on, Nehemiah 8:10. Rejoice, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on. It is possible to not allow your memory to influence you. Don't allow your memory to immobilize your life. Hurt, regret, offenses, or it might be the successes that we had. And now we look to the memory of those successes as a form of comfort instead of trusting God and taking a risk and venturing out in a whole new blue in Jesus. There's no safety there because, and there's no successor because our trust isn't in God. It's in a past success. That's why Paul said, you want to brag about it? He wasn't saying, you want to hear all the horrible things I did? I stood there and ordered the murder of Stephen. I was a zealot. I persecuted the church. Others were killed. I mean, day and night. Cursing, pursuing, imprisoning, beating, persecuting. He didn't mention that. He said, let me tell you who I was. Let me tell you how great things were. And it's nothing. Here's the key to my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Here's the key to I can do all things. I forget. Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. We're going to pray here in just a few moments and I'm going to turn you loose because I'm obviously going to have to finish this up next week. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to, today we're not going to ask, we're going to just simply put in place by faith something that has already been given and thank him for a supernatural forgetfulness by the Spirit of God in reference to the past. Let it go. It's not worth hanging on to. I don't care if it's yesterday or 10 years ago or 25. God forgets your past. He took all your sin and cast it in the sea of his forgetfulness. Far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered ever anymore. He forgets. He takes your sin, your past life, your past behavior, includes that which was done through Adam that you didn't even do. But as a child of Adam, all have sinned. He took care of all of that. Hear this, what you did, hear this, what you did is never more important than what you could do. If you trust him and his future for you. Forget whatever it is that is stopping you from moving ahead. Think of this, and I'm being a little redundant right now, but Philippians 3 was written by a man guilty of murder. Stood and held the cloak, the robe of Stephen, while he was stoned to death under his order. This is found in Acts chapter 7 and 8, the end of Acts 7, starting in 54 and moving into the first couple chapters of verses of chapter 8. One of his zealous commitments was to persecute the early church as much as possible. His reputation was so horrible that even when he had a change in life, people still didn't trust him. One day, as we all know here, most of us, on his way to persecute more Christians, God interferes with his plans and changes his life. How many are glad in here for a changed life and God interfering with our plans? Trust in the Lord, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him. Boy, that's simple. God, today is yours. This week is yours. This year is yours. Paul had horrible memories of some things that he had done to innocent people and Christians, no less. He could allow those memories to keep him from moving forward. Life boils down to choices, and with this I'm going to try to close. God expects us to choose life. The quality of our choices decide the quality of our life? Are we going to make a decision to trust God that we can lay the past down and move forward into His promise of a greater future? Paul said, I press forward. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time. You have to put a little pressure on life to move your life forward into the future. How many know it's worth it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit right here. Ephesians 2:10, and we'll pick up here next week, tells us that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. There's so much I wanted to say, so much more, but I told myself, we're not going till noon today. I'm going to turn these people loose at a decent time. Amen. I feel like God said what He needs to say this morning. I want you to sit right where you're at, and I'm going to pray for you right now. Everybody right there. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for each and every person that walked in this room today. I thank You that what we have expressed today in words and by Your Spirit, the Word of God, which remains forever. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You that this year, 2018, we, by the Spirit of God, arrest in Jesus' name the memories that have held us in a place of introspection. In Jesus' name, that we together, come on, are you praying with me and agreeing? That we together no longer allow my future to be dictated by my failures or even my successes of the past. I trust You today that You really are doing a new thing right now, already starting on the inside of me right now. How many can sense the presence of God already, a spring of life, a stream in your personal, private desert? Some of you have been hanging on for months. Some of you have been in battles and struggles, but today, in Jesus' name, I want to help you by the Spirit of God. You can let go, turn loose of what was. It has no bearing at all on your today and your tomorrow in God. He says, I'm doing a new thing. He's always doing a new thing. He's always calibrating and adjusting. He's always reorienting our path, because as we trust Him, He leads us. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You today that we can trust You with that. That we can turn loose of what once. Some of you in here, you had bad situations with churches. Turn it loose today. Come on, some of you need to lift your hands and turn it loose. I'm done. I am not. No more. I cannot hang on to that and go move any forward. I'm turning it loose in Jesus' name. We arrest that thing and break it in the name of Jesus right now. No more. I don't care what you've been through. A divorce? Maybe several. An abortion? Oh, that hurts. Let me tell you something. God is not looking at that. He's not looking at your past. He's looking at who you are in Him. Brand new. A new creature with a whole future of calling and purpose and gifting in your future. In Jesus' name, I arrest the spirit of regret, of remorse, of the pain of the past. In Jesus' name, and we speak Your grace, Your love, Father, this morning, that supernaturally above a message, the grace of God and forgiveness flows in a way that what once was, I may mentally remember, but the pain and the regret right now, we arrest that in Jesus' name. If you're believing that, come on, people all over the room, let's stand to our feet and lift our hands high as we receive the grace of God. I don't care what tragedy you've been through. He empowers us. Forgetting, come on, would you shout that out with me today? Forgetting those things, come on, shout it out. Forgetting those things, I press on towards the mark of my, come on, say it out loud, forgetting those things which are behind, I press myself forward towards the mark of my high calling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, all over the room. Father, we thank you for the Spirit of God that's moving through this place right now, healing hearts, setting free, chains being broken. Father God, I thank you today in Jesus' name. Free to do what you've called us to do without the encumberments of past memory, of successes or failures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You receive that this morning? Hallelujah, Lord. How we love Jesus. Oh, Lord, we trust you. Great time. I don't want to pass this up.